Since it is Father's Day, we have to consider the question of our Father and how our relationship with Him is. We've been talking about, for several weeks, God's will. And last time, we talked about God's will. We talked about His desire for each and every one of us to be sanctified, to be set apart. Today we want to talk a little more about His will in general for the human race. James chapter 1, verses 17 and 18 that was read a little while ago talks about us as Christians being begotten by His word of truth of His own will. It was His will, and still is His will, that all men everywhere, and women too, even though it's Father's Day, we'll include the women too. It's His will that all everywhere come to repentance, come to salvation, come to a knowledge of the truth. Peter says He's not willing that any should perish. So when people are lost and die lost, they're violating God's will. That's not what He wants. We want to be reminded, again, we talked a little bit about the fact that there are two aspects to God's will. And basically those two aspects are defined by the different definitions of will. The word will defines basically two areas. One is those things that someone wants done. And the second is those things that someone has determined will be done, or has determined to do. There are certain things that God has determined to do. He has determined that certain things will be done, that those things will take place, and no one can stop that. But there are some things that He wants that He doesn't get. No one, not even God, gets everything they want. We mentioned just a minute ago that Peter said God is not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want anyone to be lost eternally. But He's not going to get what He wants. Because there are some who are rebellious children, who ran away from their loving Heavenly Father and ran to the devil, and they will not return home. And so because of that, God does have, even though what He wants to have happen is for all to be saved, He does have a contingency plan that if someone does not want to be saved and will not do what they need to do to be saved, then He has a place to put them. The most unfortunate thing about it is everything we read about that place is that it is a place that was prepared not for human beings, but it was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was not prepared for people. But it's there. And there will be people who will be there because they rebel against God. James 1 and verse 17, James talks about how every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. God has always given good gifts to His children. He's given us so many good gifts. The greatest gift, of course, was His own Son. His only begotten Son. So that we could have salvation and forgiveness of our sins. But more than that, we need to understand what God wants. What is His will? Not in terms of what will happen, what He has determined that cannot be stopped, but what does He want? Well, it's Father's Day. Children all over the country, young and old, are considering what to get their fathers for Father's Day, because they probably didn't get anything yet. They're trying to decide, what am I going to do? It's Father's Day. Why is it always so much easier to find a gift for Mom on Mother's Day than it is to find a gift for Dad on Father's Day? It's always harder. But what are we doing? What about God? What does He want? He's our Father. What does He want? Oddly enough, in order to answer this question, let's go back to Genesis. In the book of Genesis, we see God creating the world, and He creates, among other things, human beings. It's mentioned in both chapters 1 and 2, chapter 2 giving the more detailed account of day 6 when He created the man and the woman. But when we consider this creation, let's consider this question. Why did God create people? Why are we here? Why didn't God stop with the animals? Why did He go on and create a being that was created in His own image, with a mind of its own, that couldn't be controlled, that would be able to disappoint Him, rebel against Him, hate Him, refuse to even acknowledge His existence? Sounds like the way some of us have treated our fathers over the years, doesn't it? Well, it started with the way we as human beings treated our Father God. He created us. Created children, in essence. I mean, that's what a child is, isn't it? Someone that's in the image of the Father. Let me tell you, boy, you look just like your daddy. Well, now we know that physically God didn't create us in His image, but He wanted children. Why did He want children? Why does anyone ever want children? A lot of times people want children because they want someone to love. Also, more often, people have children because they want someone to love them. A lot of young teenage girls who get pregnant without being married, when they're asked, "Why did you do this? Why didn't you wait till you got married? I wanted a baby because I know that baby will love me." They didn't feel loved by their family, friends, or anybody else. And so they wanted that baby because they thought, that baby will love me. That may be true until that baby turns about 2. And that baby's not going to love you anymore all the time. At first, oh yeah, that baby loves you, loves you. Wait till they're 15 or 16. See if they still love you then. God created children in His image to be the children of God because He wanted someone to love Him. You have to understand how powerful love is. God created the fish and they swim around in the sea, but they don't love God. Their little fish brains can't even conceive of the concept of God. The only thing they can think is, ooh, there's a littler fish that I can eat. Uh-oh, there's a bigger fish that's going to eat me. That's all they think about. That's as far as it goes. They don't think about God. They don't worship God. They don't love God. They neither obey nor disobey God. Well, except for that one fish that swallowed Jonah. He obeyed God. Okay, and the Lord said, go get that guy, swallow him up. But other than that, fish just, they go about their business. And God doesn't care. You know, the fish today, we talk about fish having schools, they don't have Sunday school. And they don't come together on Sunday to worship God. And God doesn't care that they don't come together to worship Him. The cows, they may sit around lowing But they never sing a praise of song of praise to God. They don't do that. And God doesn't care. God doesn't strike the cows dead because they didn't worship Him today. God doesn't punish any of the animals for not studying the Bible or for any number of other things. Well, why are people different? Because He created us for a different purpose. All those other things that He created, from the rocks to the trees to the birds and the fish in the seas, whatever else it is, everything else He created to do one thing, just to show people that He exists. And they do that very well, despite the scientists' best efforts to teach evolution. Those animals still scream, "You guys are wrong. God made us." Every day, that's all that comes out from the creation. But human beings are different because God created us with a different purpose and for a different reason. He created mankind to have someone who, while not His equal, was capable of having a relationship with Him. You know, when we have small children, those children in you know, most areas of life, except for playing video games, other than playing video games, they're not our equals. In that area of playing video games, they're superior to us most of the time. But in most areas, they don't know as much as we know. They can't do the things that we can do. But we love them, and we can have a relationship with them. Now, they'll grow up to be many times our equals, sometimes. And our hope is, as parents, that they will grow up to be superior to us. We want them to do better and to be better and to be more than we are. To know more and to do more than we were capable of doing. But God, of course, has no hopes of us ever being greater than He is or doing more than He's done or anything like that. But He does want someone that He can have a relationship with. And it started all the way back in the Garden of Eden. He created man, He created woman, He put them in the garden. He even prepared the garden for them. Genesis tells us that He planted a garden. So we need to understand, even though He created all the plants and animals and everything, this specific place where He put Adam and Eve was a special place. He didn't just throw them out in the wilderness. He specifically planted a particular area where there weren't any briars and thorns, because that was one of the curses, was that the thorns and the briars that man was going to have to deal with after the fall. There was food plentifully. All that man had to do was to be there and keep the garden, tend to it. He didn't have to plow it and plant it. God did all that. Just had to keep it under control and take care of it. There were all the fruit trees, nut trees, all the things, all the plants that bear fruit and vegetables, all of those things were there for Him. He didn't need to do anything except be there and take care of it. And God had a relationship with mankind. And we know that because in chapter 3, after the fall, after they realized they were naked, they went to hide themselves because they heard the voice of the Lord God, chapter 3 and verse 8 tells us, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The indication is that this was what God did. He came and spent time with Adam and Eve. He would come and walk in the garden with them in the cool of the day. But this day, something was different. They were afraid of Him for the first time. Adam had not been afraid of God. When God brought the animals to him, even when he saw God create an animal from the dust of the ground and say, "Okay, Adam, what's that one?" Adam wasn't afraid of God. When God put Adam to sleep, Adam wasn't afraid. When he woke up again and saw Eve, he wasn't afraid. Adam and Eve had no fear until they ate of that tree they weren't supposed to eat of. And what happened? They died a spiritual death, in a sense, that they were separated from God. Death is separation. And they were separated from God. From that point in Genesis chapter 3, where they fell out of God's good graces, fell away from that relationship, and that relationship was severed, from that time on, the rest of the Bible is all about regaining that lost relationship. That's what God wants more than anything else in this world. He wants to have a relationship with Him. He wants to be their Father. He wants them to be His children. And He wants to love them, and He wants them to love Him. And that's what He wants from all of us. So what about your relationship with your Father? He loves us. He loved Adam and Eve. Even after they sinned, He still loved them. And even though He put some curses upon them because of their sin, He also gave them some hope. In chapter 3 and verse 15, the promise, the first messianic promise that the seed of the woman was going to crush the serpent's head, and that the serpent was going to bite that seed's heel. The first promise. But the hope there also that there was going to be some redemption in the future, that man could get back to that relationship with God. And in fact, that's what the entire Bible is about. Here, God put Adam and Eve in that garden. There they were. They lost it. And if you go all the way, they lost the tree of life. They lost that relationship with God. And if you go all the way to the book of Revelation in chapters 21 and 22, you'll find the tree of life. Opportunity for man to get back to that tree of life. So everything all through, you wonder, you know, why does God talk about Noah? Because Noah was part of God getting that relationship back. What about Abraham? Same thing. Part of God getting that relationship again. What about Isaac and Jacob and the 12 patriarchs and the nation of Israel? Why did God go and bring that nation of Israel out of Egypt and take Moses and give them those commandments and all of those things? Because He wanted to be their God. He wanted to be their Father. He wanted them to be His children. Why did He send Jesus? You know, you come back to Adam and Eve. Why did He not just kill them and start over again? I mean, He could have just killed Adam and Eve, made two more, and started over again. But He didn't. Because He loved His children. I mean, how about it? Most parents, sad to say, you can't say all, but most parents would never kill their child just because the child did something that was disobedient or even rebellious. Parents even who have rebellious children, the children hate them and despise them, but they still love those children. And they still, to the day they die, want to have a relationship. Look at the story of the prodigal son that Jesus tells. That father, his son, had said, "You're as good as dead to me. I want my money." And he ran off. But every day, the father was looking for that son, waiting for that son to come back. And when he saw him coming back, he ran to him. God the Father like that. That's why Jesus told that parable. Because that is God. Adam and Eve started the process of mankind running away from God. This Father's Day, more than anything else, God wants us to come back to Him. He wants to renew that relationship and restore it to what it was before the fall. That's why He didn't strike Adam and Eve dead physically when they violated His law. That's why He kept Noah and his family alive during the flood and didn't wipe out the whole human race. That's why He chose Abraham and his descendants. That's why He sent Jesus. And He still wants the same thing today. It's been some 6,000 and some odd years since Adam and Eve in the garden. And all that time, God is still waiting, hoping, pleading for us to come back to Him and have the kind of relationship with Him that we should have. But what about us? Are we going to come back home? Are we going to truly have that relationship with God that we should? I mean, we say, oh yeah, well, I'm a Christian already. Okay. Well, if God's your Father, when's the last time you talked to Him? Oh, I mean more than for 2 or 3 seconds when you said, thank you for the food, God, now I'm going to eat it. When's the last time you really talked to Him? When's the last time you shared your hopes and your dreams with Him? When's the last time when you had a burden on your heart and you just unloaded that on Him and talked for an hour or more, sharing all the deepest thoughts and worries and dreams? When's the last time you listened to Him? Now, I'm not talking about, you know, you woke up in the middle of the night hearing voices like Samuel did in the Bible. I'm not talking about that. When's the last time you opened His Word and let Him speak to you? What kind of relationship can you have with a person that you never talked to and you never listened to? It's not much of a relationship. I mean, I have relationships like that with everybody in the world over there in China and Russia and Africa. I got that kind of relationship with them. I don't have any relationship with them. Some of us have a relationship with God like that. We call Him our Father, but we never talk to Him, and we never let Him talk to us. We never let Him share in our lives. Oh, He gets to watch, but He doesn't get to be a part of our lives. Not really. And we come to church, and we talk about how great He is, and we sing praise, and we have prayers, we talk to Him then, and we have a sermon, we listen a little about what He wants of us. But the rest of the days of the week, we're so busy with our own lives, we don't have time for Him. We have got to have a real relationship with our Father. Because if we don't work on having a real relationship with Him here on this earth, do we really think that we're going to be in heaven to have a relationship with Him there? It's not going to work that way. Because even though He wants, more than anything, He wants us to have that relationship with Him. If we refuse, He won't force us. The only thing that God will ever force anyone to do that they don't want to do is to go to hell. That's the only thing He's ever going to force on anyone. We are allowed to do anything we want to do, but we may have to suffer the consequences if we don't choose the right thing to do. If you're here and you have a need to respond, an excellent choice. I don't know how you knew to pick this song. If I've got the right, 598, is that right? Yeah. Lord, I'm coming home. If you've wandered away from your fathers, perhaps you've been like the prodigal son, or maybe, sometimes I wonder if the older brother wasn't worse. I mean, he was right there living in the house with the father, and he still didn't have a relationship with him. And that's more like some of us. We're right here every Sunday. We're right here with him. We've got our Bible, and we've got, but we still have no relationship with him. To us, this is just a book with words on the page instead of considering it to be a loving message from our Father. Some of us look at it, oh, that's a bunch of commands I've got to keep. Instead of realizing this is God's way of telling us He loves us so much He wants the best life possible for us and here's how to get it. We're more likely to sign up for one of those get-rich-quick schemes than we are to listen to how God says we can have a truly rich life. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you need to become one. God wants to always be adding to His family. You know, many times in America, we think, you know, two children's enough. Of course, if you get two girls or two boys, then you get to try one more time for one or the other, you know, and then you have three. But, oh, two's enough. Well, it wasn't any more than that. But God's not like that. God wants as many children. He wants billions of children. He doesn't want to stop having children. He wants you to be His child. If you're not today, you need to become His child. And the way to do that, James says He begot us by His will. Well, the way that He begot us is when we obey His command to believe in Jesus as His Son, to repent of our sins, to confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and to be buried with Him in baptism to wash those sins away. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.